Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome as this wonderful and beautiful Sunday we have to praise God and to worship and celebrate the gift of creation we have. It's good to have many members, some friends and guests as well, as we celebrate and praise God, especially on this Sunday as we celebrate Chief Elder Sunday, a Moravian tradition with Holy Communion. And we celebrate that it is Christ who is the head of our church. A few announcements before we get started. Our next Zoom Sunday School will take place next week at 8:30 a.m. There's a link going out in your weekly email. It is for the whole family. All ages are welcome to be involved in that. So if you want to join us, please contact me or Carolyn if you have any questions about that. Also, don't forget our second Wednesday of the month is coming up this Wednesday. So Food on the Fly will take place Wednesday from 4:30 to 6. We continue to be grateful for all the support we're seeing there. And just a reminder, trustees will follow Food on the Fly at 6:30. Another announcement of a real creative idea our CEC has been working on. Because of all the COVID regulations we have, we're not going to be able to have our traditional Advent workshop that we normally have each year. But we still want to do something for our families. So what we're doing is we're actually putting together something that I think is going to be a lot of fun. They're CEC Advent Workshop bags with a lot of fun activities for everyone in the family, but especially our kids. There's going to be calendars, there's going to be activities, there's going to be even small love feast items you can have in there if you want to have something on Christmas Eve, but or any other day. Doesn't just have to be Christmas Eve. But if your family is interested in receiving one of those bags, please let me or Carolyn know. When you get the opportunity, we'll give you a chance to think about it this week, but next week I'll just ask you to write on your whiteboard if you would like one of these bags or not. Other people who are not with us in worship currently, we have some people joining us online as well. You can email me, let any of our CEC members know, but we want to make sure we have plenty of bags for everyone. You'll get those bags the first Sunday of Advent, November 29th, and we'll hopefully that will help you as you prepare your hearts for the Christmas season. And then we also have a special concert coming up Tuesday that I'm very excited about. Our Concert That Cares series that started last year with Kira and Charlotte is going to continue. But this year we are going to be live streaming the event. And what we are doing is the kids are raising money for Share a Christmas. So we're asking you, if you attend the event, to make a voluntary donation to Share a Christmas if you would like. And the kids are going to be singing some Christmas tunes. And we know some of you may not be in the Christmas spirit yet, but it's Halloween and it's already happened, and we're going to help you get motivated early and just really take the opportunities to support our kids who are coming up with great ideas for ministry and serving our community. So you can do two things. You can support our wonderful kids, and you can support a great ministry in our community with Share Christmas. Also, you have until November 11th to order a red or white plant in honor of your loved one for Christmas Eve. Please contact Linda Karcher if you'd like to order those. Please order those by November 11th again. They are $11, and you can call her at home on her phone number. Although we look forward to once again having the opportunity to honoring our friends and loved ones. That's all I have for announcements. Let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the hour. Amen.
The New Testament scripture today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will first rise. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And then the New Testament reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd."
Thank you, Jean Ann. On this Chief Elder Sunday, we truly do remember that we are one flock who are guided by one awesome shepherd. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. In our prayer concerns, we have many prayers go out on our prayer chain this week. I'm just going to share some of the prayer concerns with you that I'm able to share publicly and online, but we continue to ask those of you who are not with us in person to check out that prayer chain this week, as we will have our slides for other people that we will be praying for playing while music is going on in the background after I share some of these prayer concerns with you. This week we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Jacob Sproul. He is Denny and Paula Drum's nephew. He passed away earlier this week in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was 28. Services will be later next week. They'll be calling hours on Wednesday and a service on Thursday. Our prayers are certainly with your family and with you as you travel to be with family at this time. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Carolyn Tanner. She passed away last Sunday. She is Jim Karcher's daughter's mother-in-law. So we offer families to your prayers as well, or to your family as well in this difficult time. And then also for, we have her listed as Angie's mother, but we pray for Scott Weston's mother-in-law, who is Millie's son and Randy's brother. We offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope after her passing on Monday from COVID-19 complications. A prayer of joy to share with you is Sister Sue Koenig. We mentioned that Tracy Pryor had accepted a call to Columbus last week. Was the week for former pastors to get calls, because Sue Koenig also accepted the call to Easton Moravian in Easton, Pennsylvania, right outside of Bethlehem. So she will be serving there three-quarter time, and then I'm excited she's been accepted a quarter-time position as well to serve the Provincial Elders Conference, to be a part of the racial justice team in the implementation of provincial action towards racial justice and healing. So our prayers are definitely with Sue and Mike as they transition at this time, and we look forward to the wonderful work that she will be doing on behalf of the Northern Province. We also want to pray this week for our newly elected leaders on a local, state, and national level. We pray for the newly elected President Biden and for Vice President Harris. And we also give thanks for the four wonderful years of service that President Trump and Vice President Pence have given this country. And may we all finally come to a day where we can put our partisan bickering aside and work for a brighter future for us and for our children. And we continue to pray for the health and safety of our world. We pray for the many people who continue to be impacted by COVID-19. Election season has kept us distracted from a lot of things, but we must be vigilant also in our fight against COVID-19. We pray for the many states that have seen high increases. I ask for prayers for Wisconsin right now. They continue to struggle very difficultly with this virus. My mom is working in a nursing home, where COVID is prevalent, and my sister works at one of the testing sites for COVID-19, so I would ask for specific prayers for them as well. And we continue to pray for our schools, our students, and our staff that continue to navigate all these changing numbers. I think we especially remember the Carrollton School District this week. They have something like 200 kids who do not have COVID, but they are in quarantine because of a close contact with somebody in COVID. So at this time, let us take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. And if any of you have any prayer concerns that you would like to share on your whiteboard, please take the time to write them out now. But let us take some time and listen to what God has to say. Does anyone have any other prayer concerns they would like to share at this time? We certainly uplift that in prayer, Linda. All right, let us take some time and invite God in this time of prayer. Chief Elder, we come together and just want to say thank you for uniting the body of Christ today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to praise your name. And what a blessing it is to have so many people worshiping in this sanctuary on different mediums. Some of them joining us from home, some of us physically here, but all of us united in body, mind, and spirit. Gracious God, we pray for our world this week. A very anxious and stressful week it was for many. As we battle COVID-19, we had a long and drawn out election. We had so many challenges in our weeks. But guess what? God rose up to every single one of them. He guided us through them. He led us as a good shepherd does. He took care of his sheep even in the difficult and dark times. And we are thankful for that. But gracious God, we had so many prayer concerns on our hearts this week. So many of our loved ones who are battling illness and affliction. So many of our friends who are grieving, who are hurting and heavy hearts. And help us to remember that you are the great comforter. You surround them with prayers and love, and we too surround them with prayers and love. Because that is what a flock does. They take care of one another. They love one another, and they remember who leads them. And so we remember on this day of all days that you are our leader. You are the one we look to. You are the one that knows each and every one of us by name, and you know every intimate detail of our heart. So we remember today that you are not a distant God, but you are a God that lives within us and among us. And we just want to say thank you. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. In our offering today, once again, we will give, not physically, we will not be passing the offering plate around, but we will take the opportunity to remember the physical gifts that God gives us, the financial gifts, and the spiritual gifts. There is an offering plate in the back if you want to put something in as you leave, but we continue to thank many of you who continue to give online and through the mail. But let us take some time to honor the gifts that God gives us every single day.
Help us to remember your saints, for they took the words of Christ to heart and gave abundantly with very few possessions to their name. May we follow in their footsteps. Amen.
Thank you, Jean Ann. We now turn our attention to our children's chat today. So we're going to ask our kids to remain seated. We're going to get you a whiteboard that you can write with. So what I'm going to do today, kids, is I'm going to actually have you interview your parents and your grandparents a little bit to get some information about when you were born. Because what we're talking about is the fact that Jesus knows each of us by name. That means Jesus knows every intimate detail about us. And so I want you to, we're going to do a little interviewing of your parents and your grandparents to see how much they know about you when you were a baby, when you came into this earth. So the first question I want you to ask your mom or dad or your grandma and grandpa, John and Stacy, you might have to divide and conquer with your two boys here, or grandma will have to help out there, is how many months were you pregnant with me when you decided on my name? So I want you to ask your mom or dad that question. How many months were you pregnant with me? Or how many months do you think mom was pregnant, mom and dad were pregnant with me before they decided on my name? And if you think they decided it before they were even pregnant, you can put a zero there. And if you think they waited until you were like 6 months old, you can put that too, but I doubt it. Do you need a marker? But how many months were you pregnant with me before you decided on my name? Sorry, some of our markers have started dying out. So if you see any, put them to the side and we'll make sure you throw them out before you leave. All right, let's see. 0 months. So mom and dad knew before you were even born what you're going to be named. Depending on which parent, I'm guessing, 1.5 months or 6 months? Okay. 4 months for Brandon. Wynn's got six. 1.4 months. There we go. Very specific. Very mathematic. Tyler's a little tired today. That's okay. All right. That's interesting. I still have to ask my mom because I think it was before she was pregnant, but I'm not 100% sure. All right. Here might be a loaded question depending on your theological perspective. How did I act as a baby? Question number two. How did I act as a baby? Was I a crying baby? Was I a colicky baby? Was I such a well-behaved baby that mom and dad just wanted to have so many more kids because of how awesome I was? I was the last in my family, so I'm guessing that wasn't the case. But how did you act as a baby? Nick's got good, he was a good baby. Brandon's got good, he was a good baby. I was a colicky baby, very needy. Okay, mom's on it. I was a colicky baby, so I was in the very needy category. What does Paige have? Super happy, giggly baby. I could definitely see that. Good, good, good babies all around, yeah. All right, here's your last one. This one, if you're asking grandma and grandpa, they might have, you can ask them about how they felt. But what did you feel when you first held me, when you held me for the first time? What did you feel? And you can be as honest as you want to. Well, what were your feelings the first time you held your child? And it's okay. If your first thought was, please don't drop this baby, that's okay too. We've been there. Joy. I love it. Happy. Happy. Nick, what do you got? You're good. Take your time. You can write. Super happy to meet me for the first time. Absolutely. Happy and relieved, for sure. You got to check all the fingers and toes and just be happy that your child is born. And I want each of you to know, hopefully you got a little bit more understanding of what your parents were going through when you were born. And they know so many intimate details about you. But there's somebody who knows even more intimate details about you. And that's God, right? God knows how many hairs are on your head. God knows what inspired your parents to name you the name that they were. Maybe God provided the inspiration for that moment. But God cares for us. So I want you to remember, sometimes God feels so far away and so distant. But God knows so much about what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, and what we're praying about every single day. So you can have that personal connection. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids and just remind them that they came into this earth and they were loved. Loved by God and loved by their family. And every single day they walk on this earth, may they know that truth and live in that truth. That they are loved by God and by so many people around them. And all of us, help us to understand that. Because love is at the center of who we are and what we live for. And we live for a loving and compassionate God. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much.
So we'll turn our hearts and our minds to our message now.
a tense and anxious election day this week for many of us morphed into a tense and anxious election week. The prolonged suffering that has become the year of 2020 continued for many as we were trying to sort out all these different issues this week. And personally, I thought this week I was playing the role of a non-anxious presence, and I thought I was doing it really well. But then my wife would point out to me every single night when I got to watch the news that she could see my feet tapping on the couch as if I was like Wile E. Coyote fleeing from Roadrunner sometimes. I guess I wasn't hiding the fact that I was just as anxious as everybody else this week. We were all struggling. And I'm sure many of us experienced an extra dose of anxiety this week. For you, it might have been nervous tapping or an upset stomach, an unexpected headache. But I guarantee you that anxiety and stress were bipartisan emotions this week. Every single person in our country was going through it. Every single person was feeling it. And my greatest struggle this week was thinking about my one vote and my one voice. And I felt like a small dot on a very large map as you see all these massive numbers come in. Over 5.5 million people voted in the state of Ohio. Well over 100 million people in the United States, the most of any, have voted in a single election. And there I stood as one small person in Tuscarawas County. How much of a difference do we really make in this world? That was the question I found myself centered on. And as I was focusing on that question, I became grateful for the chief elder text that we have this week, because it was very helpful in managing my personal anxiety this week, and I hope it helps you as you go through the coming weeks. John 10:2-3 said, "The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." He calls his own sheep by name. And I want you to remember that this week. Your Savior knows you by name. He knows the moment your parents decided on your name. He knows what inspired your parents to call you who you are. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. You have thousands of hairs on your head, and he knows every single one of them. He knows what keeps you up at night. He knows even the little joys in life that brighten your day, whether it's just the right blend of morning coffee, the perfect parking spot at work or school, or even just the ability to watch your favorite Netflix show after a long day of work or school. Jesus knows us by name. He knows all the intimate details about us. And he knows those intimate details not out of his own selfish gain, but because he truly cares about us. Think about it. Look at Scripture and you can see a Jesus who cares about everyone. Because he had a track record, he still has a track record, of making people feel seen and making people feel heard. Think of the Samaritan woman, the good Samaritan, Zacchaeus, the blind man, the lepers, that list goes on. Every single one of those people mattered to Jesus. His compassion did not have a blind spot, not a single one. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be in any doubt, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, and he reminds us, you matter. He was living in an age of anxiety himself. Paul was surrounded by people, especially in this chapter of Scripture, who are impatiently waiting for the return of Jesus. In fact, they had all quit their jobs, many of them, and were just sitting there waiting. When is Jesus coming back today? This day. In chapter 4, verse 13, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." What Paul is saying there is that hope is not dependent on our circumstances, but our hope is dependent on knowing that God is always in charge of our circumstances.
That is why the word hopeless Christian, it should be an oxymoron. You shouldn't hear that in our vernacular. There shouldn't be a thing as a hopeless Christian. Because by our very nature, Christians have to be hopeful. Because the guy we believed in, they told us it was over. They told us he was defeated. They told us that Rome had won. And 2 days later, he rose. He got up and he defined what hope really is. And the hope that Christ gives us is unbreakable. And our hope and our value can be found in our identity in Christ. For Christ never stops believing in us, and he sees the value of every one of his sheep. That is why he's willing to leave 99 of us to rescue one of us, because he sees the value of what 100 sheep working together looks like. So when we remember today a proud moment in our Moravian history, when it came time to elect a chief elder of the church. For those of you that aren't as familiar about the history of the Moravian church, the chief elder was basically the president of the church at that time. And the Moravian church in 1741 had expanded all over the world. And this job became a Herculean task. Nobody could get from Africa to Latin America to the United States to England back and forth in 1740 and feel like they were doing a good job of it. And the guy who was in charge, Leonard Dover at that time, was the first to admit that he couldn't handle the job. So they looked for somebody who could handle a job that no human was capable of. And they couldn't find a human to do it. And I want you to remember that on that election day in 1741 in London, that was a tense and frustrating day for Moravians. It started out that way. And they tried numerous different candidates to replace Leonard Dover. Jesus was not the first one on the list. He wasn't even the second choice, the third choice, or the fourth choice. And they tried many different candidates to replace Dover. And the electorate there and the lot system that they used, all of them sent back a resounding no. None of these people were the right person for the job. No one seemed willing or capable to handle this job. Yet, something happened when they came to the conclusion that no regular person could be in charge of the future of their church. They ended up voting in the easiest election of their lives. For no one at that synod knew all the delegates by name like Jesus did. No one knew the hairs on their head. No one knew every intimate detail of their life. No one cared about the future of that church as much as Jesus did. And certainly, there wasn't a single delegate in that room who was willing to surrender their lives for every person in that room like Jesus did when he laid down his life for each of us at the cross. So on that day, the Moravian Church in 1741 cast a unanimous ballot for Jesus Christ as chief elder of the Moravian Church. Not a dissenting opinion in this election. Jesus was the chief elder. So I want us to take an opportunity, because I want to ask, how about you? Who do you vote for today? Because it has been 275 years since the last time we voted for chief elder. That's a long time to go between election cycles, people. So what we're going to do, I think, will be very helpful for us. As brothers and sisters, I would like you to get your whiteboards out at this moment. And I want you to answer this very simple question for me today. Who do you want to be the chief elder of your church today in 2020? Who do you want to be your chief elder? Take a few more seconds. Some of you might have had markers that died, so if you need one, feel free to ask for help. All right, if I could ask you to stand too for a second, let's see what you got. Who is your vote for chief elder? Let's see, let's stand up for a second.
see Jesus, God, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sound like I'm swearing at a football game, but I'm not. Jesus, 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 Christ, Jesus. Every single person here, Jesus. And no, Angie's voting for Jesus. You can sit down now. Every single person here has continued that rich history. You voted for the Messiah, the King of Kings. And you know what? I see Republicans that have voted for him. I've seen Democrats that have voted for him today. I've seen people who are very independent. And each one of us are united by Jesus. He is our chief elder. He is in charge of us. He is the one who is going to take care of us and lead us and guide us. No matter how anxious we are, no matter how frustrated we are, no matter how upset we are, we can roll with Jesus, because Jesus is going to take care of us. He's going to guide us through the future. So I want you to remember that. Today, Shenron Moravian Church, on November 8th, 2020, continue to vote for Jesus as the chief elder of their church. And that truth has existed for 275 years, and it continues today, because each and every one of us have Jesus in our heart. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today, and we just want to say thank you for accepting our call for you to be the chief elder, the Messiah, the Savior of each and one of and every one of our hearts. So as we call on you, help us to remember that no matter what happens on this earth or in this world, you are in charge and you are taking care of it. So we do not have to be people who live with hope that is circumstantial, because we know that in the good times, the bad times, the anxious times, the frustrating times, the upsetting times, and yes, the wonderful and joyful times, Jesus will get us through it. Jesus will take care of us and know us by name and use every opportunity to get to know us better. And we are grateful for that, because our Messiah does not live on the clouds. Our Messiah lives in our hearts and our minds and our lives. And every single day, we get to experience the impact that our chief elder, our Lord, our King of Kings, makes on each and every one of us. Amen. Let's now take some time to prepare our hearts as we get ready to partake in Holy Communion together. Thank you. Christ's invitation to the communion table today. A few reminders before we get started with the service of Holy Communion. It's going to look very similar to what we did in Fellowship Hall as far as how the order of worship goes. What we will be doing differently, instead of you coming forward to me, is I will be going out to you. So we'll have the bread and the cup. I will ask you, I will not be handing you the bread. I will be asking you to grab a toothpick yourself, so that way there's not too much cross-touching or anything like that. Just a reminder, once again, the Moravian Church has an open communion table. Anyone who welcomes Christ in their heart is welcome at our table. So once again, when you receive the elements today, I'll also ask you, as we traditionally do, to hold them, and we will partake together. We'll take our mask down for a brief moment and then partake of those elements together. Let us now join together in the service for Holy Communion. Grace, mercy, and peace from our God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us now stand and extend the right wave of fellowship to one another. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come here today and we accept your invitation to the table. And we come before you with humble hearts, asking you to forgive our sins. But we know that we have done what we haven't always been supposed to do. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But still, it is your mercy that blots out all of our transgressions and reminds us that God's love will reign supreme. So we celebrate the faith, the hope, and the love that you give us today. And we offer this prayer of thanksgiving by sharing together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." May put your mask back up. By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection, bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen. You may be seated. In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We'll now distribute the cup. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us partake together. Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant to us your peace.
Amen.
Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death
until he comes.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. This concludes our worship service for today. We want to thank those of you that joined us online for joining us, as well as those of you that were with us in person. We hope you have a wonderful and beautiful Sunday afternoon. At this time, we'll now dismiss families row by row. Castor family, you can go ahead. Rick and Joyce, you can go ahead. Tim and Linda, Tim and Tammy, go ahead. Thanks for joining us. It's great to see you. Delene, go ahead. Becky, McKenna, and Jacob, go ahead. Martins, go ahead. Millers and Karchers, go ahead. Randy and Millie, go ahead.